It's always a pleasure to have him. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning on this week of Valentine's and love and compassion. Lord, we come to you in worship this morning as a family of faith gathered here in friendship and love and compassion. We come and ask your guidance and your goodness as we read your word this morning, as we study that word for our health, our spiritual health, as well as our physical health. Lord, we come to you and we ask that you lift us up in worship this morning. Our choir has sang beautifully. Our church is always beautiful. The people who represent her are always beautiful. Lord, we're so grateful for their presence. And as we read your word and share in this message this morning, help it to lift us up and be more spirited and more loving like we are taught to be, just like you, Lord. We are taught to love like you. Help us to leave this place with a renewed attitude and a renewed commitment to love others as you love us. We ask all this now as we begin into your message and your word this morning. In Jesus' name, our living Savior. Amen. So we're going to focus this morning, or the message actually focuses on John 3, 14 through 21. But I'm actually going to begin in John 3, and I'm in the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read all the way to 21. I kind of want to set the stage for you just a little bit in the passage reading this morning. And I will admit that when I prepped this sermon and prepared it, tested it out, it was 53 minutes long. So what I'll share with you is that there's a lot of things that we can talk about God's love. And there's many avenues by which we can approach His love and how we talk about it, how we perhaps preach about it, how we discuss it. So this morning at 5, at a little after 5, I woke and said, I better check this thing one more time. And so I did at somewhere around 6 o'clock and realized, I'm in trouble. We've got a congregational meeting. They're not sitting there for no 55 minutes listening to me speak. So what I have done is I have condensed the elements of that sermon down as much as I can and tried to hit the high points. But I don't want to reduce the amount of scripture that we read, because this is something you can take home with you, study, self-study, and share. So I do want to start in 3 and read through 21, even though I'm going to focus a little tighter in this passage. So, again, New Living Translation. So let's see what the Lord has to say for us. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. He said, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these simple things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and holy Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but simply to save the world through Him, Jesus Christ. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged, for not believing in God is one of the only Son, and that judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will truly be exposed. But those who do what is right, for those who do what is right, they come to the light so others can see what they are doing, because that's what God wants. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, welcome back to worship this morning. Good morning, church. As I always like to say, it's always wonderful to see all of your faces. Lots of busy things happening this season. This coming week kicks it all off. Shrove Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, all kinds of things happening. New ministries here at Bethel, hopefully after today, as well as our new children's ministry that's going to be jointly with Pines that's kicking off this month. Lots of happenings, and so lots of goodness going on. And so I hope since the last time I saw you, was certainly a good week, one that prospered you and helped you, and I certainly hope that you look forward to this coming week, a week signified by some really good stuff. Just a friendly reminder to all of my brother men in the audience, this coming week is a week you need not forget. I assure you, we can get many things wrong in our time. We can forget a lot of things, and a lot of grace is given us. But if you forget Wednesday, I'm not for sure what your Thursday supper will look like. And I'm certainly not sure what your next week will look like. So make sure that you at least, if you don't catch the hint here, make sure you make a phone call at least to the florist or stop by Walmart and get some candies or something. Because Wednesday is Valentine's Day. And thus a timely opportunity to speak about love. God's love. How does it feel this morning to wake up, simply to wake up, and know that you are loved by God? Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a second. That's a pretty awesome feeling to know that, oh, I'm sitting on the side of the bed, gathering myself for the day. How can I lose? How can I have a bad day? Because you know, I'm loved by God. That's a pretty awesome feeling. But the question I have for you this morning is, how many of you drove here feeling that way? You know, I have the pleasure to prepare you a message every week. Sometimes those messages begin weeks in advance. Sometimes they happen, something changes, and they're prepared in days and hours. But one of the blessings that I have is the ability to prepare you a message. Now, sometimes you're probably not blessed to hear it because you're thinking, whew, glad that one's over. But I have the blessing to prepare you a message. Thus, I have the opportunity to get with the Lord multiple times in a week. And especially on Sunday mornings, as I take one last glance at what I've prepared for you guys, it's an opportunity for me to be privately in prayer and conversation with God. And this is where, personally, I have found the greatest affection, not only of my affection for God, growing with Him and understanding Him and loving Jesus, but His affection and love for me in those quiet moments, in those times of preparation. That's a glorious opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity. And it circles back to the question I asked you just a few seconds ago. How many of you came to church this morning like I did, celebrating the fact that you were loved by God? Or what were you thinking about? What's that? That's right. Running late. Can't, I got to make it. Church starts at 11. We're always doing something different, aren't we? Life tends to do that to us. We get up in the morning and we have a plan. You know, I'll talk about it in a second, but we got big plans tonight, or most of us do. Somebody's cooking a meal, somebody's snacking, somebody's doing something, and we're all watching football. It's Super Bowl Sunday. But how many of you came to church this morning with the goodness and the feeling of love in your heart because you're loved by God? Truthfully, not many of us. Some of us did, but not many of us, because life intersects, and that kind of dampens our day. But that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's really what I want to focus on. I want to focus on those few passages that we talked about. So in Sunday, or I always try to say Sunday school. In Bible study, we work hard talking about lots of things. But in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about our purpose as Christians. And this past week on Thursday night, we talked about our appointment. We use the word appointment in our lesson, and what good purpose that has in our life. And what we're here to do is to serve God, and how He loves us and how we love Him. And that was the big conversation. And so I didn't bring this up in the Bible study lesson, but because I held it for the sermon. And here's what I want to share with all the students in the class, as well as you, the congregation this morning, and everyone who listens online. Our first purpose as a Christian is the easiest thing in the world. Requires no effort on our part. We believe, and thus we have faith, and here we stand. And our first true purpose, our first element of our purpose in life, is to be loved by God. He does all that on His own. No effort on our part. We just get to accept it. That is powerful. That is something that we should celebrate this time of year, especially, but all throughout the year. How cool is that? In my mind, that's a game changer. That game-changing feeling that God loves me first, and that all I have to do is simply find a moment in time and resonate on the fact that He loves me. And that's part of my purpose. That's a game changer. And speaking about game changers on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, I don't know which team's going to win today. I don't know if it's going to be the Chiefs or the 49ers. And quite frankly, I don't have a dog in the fight. My Steelers lost long ago. But what I will say is the team that comes with humility, the team that hits the field with glory to God first, they put God in their talent, God-given talent first, and play for us today in this game with humility and with God being the glory, they're going to win. I don't know what the scoreboard's going to say, but if both teams come to that field today with that feeling, they all are winners. They're all winners. That concept of going to the field, playing a game, or being active in something, that concept also applies to me and you. You see, this is Super Bowl Sunday. But every Sunday that's Super Bowl Sunday, the first playing field that we arrive in is this one. Here are our boundaries, our sidelines, our field goals, our friends, our teammates. This is the first field we play on first, every Super Bowl Sunday. I draw that analogy just to simply say that although tonight's game will have an ending and a score, friends, this one won't. It will continue next week, and beyond. And by the grace of God, and through Scripture this morning, we are taught that it's eternal, that it's forever. Think about that for a second. That's the concept I want to leave you with today on Super Bowl Sunday, on Valentine's week. I want to draw a parallel to that game day because it's all about our lives as Christians. If our first purpose in life is truly to be loved by God and we come to our feet every morning in humility and in service to God who loved us first, we win. We're winners. In our lesson this week, it said, are you an appointment by God or are you a mistake? Well, we cleared that up pretty quick. God makes no mistakes. You see, we are winners because we are loved by God and we love Him and we win. We win every time with God Almighty. No matter what the circumstances are in our life, there's an old saying out here that says that a Christian wins even when they're down. And I believe that. I think sometimes we're as powerful as we ever are when we're at our lowest point. And I believe that. And there's also another statement out here that I want to try to get to. It's a highlight I drew into this passage. But basically it says, you know, Scripture tells us, I didn't read it this morning, but Scripture tells us that we are to, we're to love thy neighbor as ourselves. And I think in our prayer of confession, we said this morning that it's kind of hard to love some people outside of our circles. But here's what I want to tell you. It's our purpose, our job, to love difficult people. You know why? Because you're difficult people. We're all difficult people. That's a famous saying. And that sets us back in our seat a little bit. To love others as ourselves. Well, that's exactly what that's saying. That's the kind of love that we share as Christians. That's the kind of love that we share inside of our stadium here. That's the kind of love that we should share outside of our stadium for Christ Jesus. As Christians, we should truly love the difficult challenges. But here's the reason we should. It's because through our faith, we have the capacity to love like Jesus. Jesus didn't give us an example in Scripture to follow that is impossible. Sometimes when we say to one another, well, we're to love like Christ, and we think, oh my God, I can't do that. I don't have the capacity. Yes, you do, because you are Christ's child. Even in your worst moments, you have the capacity to love like God. Everything that we do, regardless of the pitfalls of life, we love our way through it. We love our way through today. We love our way through to tomorrow. And finally, somehow, miraculously, in 6 or 7 days, we find ourselves right back in here together, in this stadium, loving on each other. You know why? Because your purpose today and every day hereafter and before is you're loved by God. And I don't know if you see your life that way, but I hope you do after today. Because that's what this week's all about. That's what it represents. But you see, as Christians, yeah, we celebrate Valentine's week and guys don't mess up. Wednesday's coming quick. But what I'll tell you is, as a Christian, every week in the calendar year is a love week. Every week is a love week. Every week we should share our care, compassion, generosity, humility with those around us, because that's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus talks about in Scripture this morning. I think this is kind of what Jesus was trying to say to Nicodemus in the passage this morning. You see, I think what he was trying to tell Nicodemus is transformation isn't a process of trying harder. We can't transform ourselves. We can't work harder to transform ourselves. It's a result. Transformation in our life is a result of being loved by God and submitting to Him and growing in His goodness and grace. That's the love that we talk about today. This is what I think Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. It's not about your worldly goodness. It's about the goodness you share within me. This is grace my friends. This is what grace looks like. That's what this week, this Valentine's week, is all about. Love and grace. The title of your message this morning says, Candy Hearts Don't Last. Well, it's purposely half done in that bulletin. Because the real title of the message is, Candy Hearts Don't Last, But God's Love and Grace Do. You see, the worldly things are temporary, but the spiritual things and the godly things are permanent. And that's the love I want you to leave here and share with in the world. This week represents love, affection, and appreciation. As Christians, this is, again, just one week in our calendar that we love like this every week. That's the challenge. That's the challenge, to love others just like we love this week, and perhaps even today. You and I need to recognize that we rise every day in the abundance of God's goodness because we are loved by Him. Now, that is more than we probably can actually fathom. It certainly is for me, and I've studied the sermon and wrote a 50-minute message and now condensed it down to however long I've been talking. But faith says this, that every time God loves us, that's an overture in our life. And it comes whether we want it or not. That's how much He loves us. That means faith is a yes. It's an answer to our prayers. It's an answer to our life. God loves us. It's an overture to us. It's coming right on top of us, sometimes when we can't even see it. There's a story, and you guys know I love stories, and I want to conclude with this story. There's a story that talks about faith and goodness and love, but it really talks about good and evil. But where it really resonated with me is it speaks to what we accept, what guides us. Does the world guide us, much like many of us got up this morning and thought about being late perhaps, or thought about other things but drove to church because it's automatic? Or does God love and guide us? And when we got up this morning, we said, yes, I'm going to church. How many said that? Why are you smiling? Many of you not morning people or what? What guides us in our life is the point. The world or God? Listen to this story. One evening around a warming fire, an old Cherokee Indian told his grandson about the battles of life. He says, battles of life go on inside of us. He went on to tell him, son, the battle in our lives is much like two wolves. One of them is evil and one of them is good. The one that's evil is angry. He has envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, cheats, is false, has false pride, and has an ego problem, a superiority ego problem. And then he tells his grandson about the good wolf. He said, this wolf is joy, peace, love and hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith, and love. The grandson thought there for a minute while they sat there at the warming fire, and he looked up to his grandfather and he said, hey, grandfather, which one of these wolves wins in life? And the old Cherokee chief simply looked down to his grandson. He grabbed his hand and put his arm around him and he said, which one of them you feed the most? In closing, friends, your battles in life are already won. You see, when you got up this morning, whatever your battle was, whatever's on your heart, it's won. Because God loved you. That's your purpose. And you love Him back. And no matter what life brings you, you're winning. Your first purpose in this life is to be loved by God. Can you imagine how glorious that is? I've shared with you that you rise every day in the abundance of Christ Jesus. How much better can it get? It can't. I told you candy hearts don't last, but God's love and compassion for you does. It's eternal. He came, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I will always be loved this day and forever. Scripture taught you and I this very morning that God so loved the world. He did this. He shared in this action. Actually, though, personally, what God said in Scripture is that God so loved the world that He sent Jesus for you and you and you and you and you and you. It's personal. It's not, yes, we love Jesus in this sanctuary, we celebrate Him in groups, but it's personal. It's just like my Sunday mornings where I spend time with Him personally. God loved me so much, and He loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ for you. Just you. Think about that. This is a personal relationship that you share. It's one we recognize. It's just like the gifts of Valentine's this week. Those are personal thoughts of love and generosity to those who love you back. That's the love that we share. It's between you and God. When you get up in the mornings, it should be, "Thank you, Lord." Not, "Oh my God, what faces me today?" It's, "Thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you." Because God, that is your purpose. He loves you first. So here's my question, and I'm going to leave you with this. It's purposeful, and I'm going to say amen and shut up. But here's what I want to share with you. If God loves you first, and that's your purpose, and you rise to your feet every day in the abundance of His glory and goodness, if that is true, and I believe it is wholeheartedly, and so do you, if that is true as a Christian, in this chapel today, and in this world today that we serve, even in its brokenness, as hard as we work to serve God, and we do it well, if all those things are true, tell me again why every single day, somewhere in the world, maybe it's even you, and maybe it's multiple times a day, do you insist on feeding the other wolf? Amen.